You would turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. This morning we're going to be starting a series of lessons looking at what I've called some big words in the Bible. Words that we see in the scriptures and they have a lot of meaning, important meanings to them, but maybe we don't quite know exactly what the Bible means when we read those words. The first one we're going to be looking at here is the word propitiation. And this is one of these words. We don't use it in our everyday conversation about, you know, what this is. We may be confused as far as what exactly this means, or maybe we have a basic concept maybe of what it is, but we don't really know how to explain it. I want us to, as we look at in this series, I want us to look at some of these words, because it's important that we understand what these words mean and what the concepts are behind them. The Bible has been revealed so that we can understand it. Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 4 that when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So the Bible has been given to us that we can understand it. However, there are some things that are more difficult to understand. And sometimes it's in the words that are used that we have difficulty in understanding these things. And so we're going to be looking at some of these words that are important words as far as they help show us about God and His plan and how we can be saved. These words are important. These passages that use these terms are important. But sometimes they're harder for us to explain these, or there are a lot of misconceptions that people have about what these terms mean. So that's what we're going to be doing in the next few lessons, Lord willing. We're going to be looking at some of these words. The first one is this word propitiation. Again, this is one we don't use in everyday conversation, but this word helps describe the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us and what that means for us. So we're going to be looking at this word. I want to start by reading in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. It says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus." So this is the word that we're talking about here, this word propitiation. And different translations, you may have a different word there, but this is what we want to understand, what this word, this Greek word that's translated propitiation, what this means. What does this mean? Well, the Greek word is word hilasterion. I don't expect you to remember that, or even I will not guarantee that I pronounced that correctly. But it's from this Greek word and refers to a sacrifice. And a sacrifice that was made for a specific reason. It was made in order to appease or to satisfy God. And as we look at this passage and other passages we're going to look at, it comes with it this idea of turning away God's wrath from the one who is the recipient, or who stands to be the recipient of God's wrath. It's a sacrifice that's made in order to turn away His wrath from them. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we could say, is a propitiatory sacrifice. That it was made, He died on the cross for us in order to turn away the wrath of God. And in turning away the wrath of God, provided an opportunity for us to be saved. So here in this passage, and we'll look at this passage in more detail here in a little bit later in the lesson, but we read this word in verse 25, that God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood, referring to Jesus. He displayed Him as a propitiation in His blood through faith, that He died on the cross. His blood was shed on the cross. And in doing this, in making this sacrifice for us, this was a propitiation for us. So this is the word that we're talking about here. This is the word that we want to try to understand. And even if we don't enter it into our everyday vocabulary, we still want to be able to understand it and be able to explain it to others that this is what this passage means. This is what the sacrifice of Christ was all about. It's about this propitiation that he made in this sacrifice. So as we think about this concept, we'll look at look at what it means in context in this passage here in just a minute. But understanding the concept of what this means, there is a sacrifice that is involved in this. That he was displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood. So there is a sacrifice that was made. Remember when John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the crowds that were around him in John 1 and verse 29. He described him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Using that language to show people that he is this as this lamb that was going to be sacrificed, that was going to be offered, that this was part of the plan, that there would be a sacrifice that would be offered. And particularly, not just that a death would take place, but that blood would be shed. A propitiation in his blood, as Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 25. But the Hebrew writer talked about this over in Hebrews chapter 9. The reason why blood is part of this sacrifice, why blood plays a significant role in this. Hebrews 9 and verse 22, it says, according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. This is part of what God put in place in the law, and those sacrifices that foreshadowed the sacrifice of Christ. The blood had to be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. He was showing us in those sacrifices that this had to be done. In verse 14 of this chapter, it says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Jesus was shed on the cross in order to cleanse us, in order that we could be forgiven of our sins. And we look back in the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 17. Chapter 16 and 17 of Leviticus talk about the Day of Atonement and the sacrifices that would be made on the Day of Atonement. And there's a statement that's made in chapter 17 about why the particular sacrifices were made or what the significance of them were. And again, foreshadowing the sacrifice of Christ. But it says in verse 11 of Leviticus 17, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. The reason why blood was shed, why this was important, says the life is in the blood. That this had to be offered, this life had to be given for this sacrifice, for this atonement sacrifice to be made. We also see in this word, it carries with the concept of God's wrath being turned away from those who should have received God's wrath. When we think about the sacrifice of Christ and why he died on the cross, we look at what Paul wrote over in Ephesians chapter 2, that Jesus died on the cross because we were, what we deserved was destruction. What we deserved was punishment because of our sin. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We were, as that passage says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we were, as it says there in verse 3, by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Meaning that because we had sinned, the natural consequence of sin, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The natural consequence of that is that we are children of wrath. We deserve the wrath of God because of our sin. This was the condition that we were in. And this is why Jesus came and died on the cross, why his blood was shed, so that we can be forgiven of our sin. But as we think about this idea of propitiation, a helpful verse to help us understand this concept is over in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 5. And if you take notes in your Bible, you may make a note from Romans 3:25 where we started, and over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 5 to reference that. And the reason why I say that is because in our English translations, the same English word is not used, but the same Greek word is being used in both places. Hebrews 9 and verse 5, it says above it, referring to the Ark of the Covenant, above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat, but of these things we cannot now speak in detail. The word that is translated mercy seat in the New American Standard Version that I'm reading from is the same word for propitiation that's used in other verses in the New Testament. It's the same Greek word. And understanding that helps us understand this concept of what propitiation is and what this sacrifice is all about. So we go back to the Old Testament. And we think about, okay, you have the Ark of the Covenant that was constructed according to God's plan, according to God's pattern, that this was going to be built. Well, you have the mercy seat that would be placed upon it. And over in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 21, God is giving instructions about the ark and how it would be made. He said in verse 21, "You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give you." There, says where you put what's on top of the ark, you have the mercy seat there. It is there I will meet with you. From above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. What was the significance of the mercy seat? Well, it says here in this verse, this is where God would meet them, particularly talking to Moses, that I'm going to come down, I'm going to meet with you here. So this is a place where God and man would come together, where they would meet together in this place. Also in Leviticus chapter 16, we read a verse in chapter 17 that talked about the life is in the blood, and this is why the sacrifice was made. But in chapter 16, it talks about the Day of Atonement and what would be done. You would have the two goats that would be brought and you cast lots for them. One would be sacrificed and the other would be the scapegoat that would be released out into the wilderness. But the one that was going to be sacrificed, the one that was going to be killed, it says in Leviticus 16 and verse 15, "Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat." So you have the mercy seat here on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And it's significant in that God would meet with man there. You would have God and man coming together in that place. And you have the blood of the atonement sacrifice would be sprinkled on the mercy seat, and sprinkled in that place. So you have both of these together. We have the sacrifice of Jesus, this foreshadowed to him. The sacrifice of Jesus, his blood was shed for us. We know in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you have Jesus described as the mediator of a new covenant. And that language is also used in Hebrews chapter 9, where we were reading from, where he is the mediator of this covenant for us. The mediator is one who goes between two parties to make peace between them. That's what Jesus is. Well, all of this is tied into this mercy seat that is on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that word is used, is this word propitiation in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 5. This is what this is involved in, this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That Jesus' sacrifice was made on the cross in order to turn God's wrath away from us, to give us a chance to be saved. But it was an act of mercy. That's what I want us to understand about this. This propitiation sacrifice, it's an atonement sacrifice. And the passage that was read earlier from 1 John chapter 2, that the in the translation that Matt was reading from, it had an atoning sacrifice. Other translations, New American Standard, use the word propitiation, but it's this word, that atoning sacrifice. But this atonement sacrifice that was made by Jesus, in which his blood was shed, was an act of mercy for us. Sometimes when people describe the sacrifice of Jesus, that they will describe it almost as a business transaction. That we sinned, and we sinned, and therefore we deserve to... we deserved death, we deserved punishment. And so God is just going to take that punishment, instead of giving it to us, he's going to give it to Jesus. That doesn't really complete, or isn't really the full picture of what we're looking at here. This was not a business transaction. This is not where, and it's, I've heard it described this way many times, where someone will say that, well, I, you know, someone owed a debt of something they could never pay, $1 million or $10 million, whatever it is. And you can never pay it, but then someone comes in and says, I'm going to pay this debt, and he pays it. And then we're released from that debt, and we are no longer owe that because it was paid by this other person over here. There's a reason why people use that type of analogy to describe the sacrifice of Christ, but it doesn't really give us the complete picture of this. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was not an act of equality. It was an act of mercy. The reason why we need to understand in that way is because of what we stand to face without the sacrifice of Christ. Jesus, if he never died on the cross, or we fail to take advantage of his sacrifice on the cross, what we stand to face, Romans 3 and verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. That's not just talking about physical death. That's talking about eternal separation from God and punishment in hell. Jesus did not face that. Jesus, he died. He told the thief on the cross, you will be with me in paradise. He was raised from the dead. He is now seated at the right hand of God. He didn't face the punishment that we face for our sins. That's not to minimize what he faced. That's not to minimize anything that he went through. But it was not the same thing that we stand to face. It gives us a picture of how we can maybe visualize how awful our sins are. But Jesus did not face the eternal torment and punishment in hell that we stand to face if we continue in sin, if we don't take advantage of his sacrifice. So this is not a business transaction. So, well, this person owed this, but this person paid it instead. This is, we stand to face something far worse than anything we can imagine. And even looking at the scriptures, and we had a lesson recently on what the Bible teaches about hell. You know, even when we look at what the Bible teaches about hell, it's very, we still get a very incomplete picture to think about how awful that place is. Jesus, as an act of mercy, died on the cross and shed his blood. Not so that he could go to hell in our place, but so that he could save us from that, that we can be forgiven and cleansed of our sins. So we think about the idea of propitiation. Think of it in, as we think about the mercy seat and what that is. God and man coming together, God willing to come down and meet us. And the blood is shed in order to provide cleansing, in order to provide forgiveness. So now we'll go back to the context of where we started in Romans chapter 3. So we talked about the concept of what what this is. I want us to see, understanding that concept, what it looks like in the context of this passage. In Romans chapter 3, we saw in verse 23 that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All were dead in sin. And we looked at that passage in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, apart from Christ or outside of Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. All of us were in this condition. But, as he says here in Romans 3, all of us can be saved. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. That in the righteousness, or God through his righteousness, will save those who believe. It says there is no distinction. God has made salvation available to us. And is through faith in Jesus Christ, because of what he did on the cross, because of that sacrifice he made. There is no distinction. As we're going to study in not too long in our study in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, when Peter goes to the household of Cornelius, he says, I understand that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. There is no distinction. Everyone can be saved, and they're going to be saved by faith. Paul said here that we are justified as a gift by his grace. That, again, this is not something that is deserved. What we deserve is punishment for our sins. But God is offering us something that we don't deserve. We are justified, and we'll talk about justification in another lesson in this series and what the Bible teaches about that. But we are justified as a gift by his grace. His grace has been extended to us. His mercy was shown to us because, again, we deserve death for what we have done, for our sins. And there is nothing that we can do to erase those sins. It takes the blood of Christ being shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So he says that we are justified as a gift by his grace. That it is a free gift. It doesn't mean it cost nothing. It did cost the death of Jesus on the cross. And it does require us to come to him and meet his conditions to accept his grace. But we are justified as a gift by his grace. And Jesus shed his blood as a propitiation for us, it says in verse 25. He shed his blood that we were dead in sin, but he made it possible that everyone could be saved. That we could be justified as a gift by his grace. So Jesus shed his blood to be that atonement sacrifice for us. To extend his mercy to us. Where the difference between grace and mercy, sometimes we might use those interchangeably or think they're the same thing. They are very closely related. We cannot separate them from one another. As far as say, well, we just need one and not the other. They are necessarily connected, but they are not exactly the same thing. Grace is about giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is about not giving us what we do deserve. Both of those are involved in our salvation. We are justified as a gift by his grace. We are receiving something we do not deserve. But Jesus shed his blood as a propitiation for us, so that we don't have to receive what we do deserve. That we can be forgiven. We can avoid that punishment for sin. And God had already shown throughout the old law that shedding of blood is necessary for the forgiveness of sins. We read that in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. But in the next chapter, in chapter 10, he said that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Blood had to be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But those animal sacrifices, those weren't the sacrifices that needed to be offered to give you forgiveness, to provide you with forgiveness. They foreshadow the sacrifice of Christ. They were able to cleanse, as chapter 9 and verse 14 says, cleanse them of the flesh, where they could still have the hope of that forgiveness. But those sins were not cleansed. And that forgiveness was not fully obtained until Jesus died on the cross. Those animal sacrifices could not take away sins. So his sacrifice was made. This was a propitiation in his blood to demonstrate the righteousness of God, because he already demonstrated, already showed, already revealed, Blood has to be shed in order for forgiveness to happen. So he was not going to just forgive people without this. The sacrifice had to be made. The righteousness of God, that he was righteous, he was just. The sacrifice was made that he would be just and the justifier of those who have faith in Christ Jesus. But this was an act of mercy. We think about Jesus' death on the cross, an atonement sacrifice, a propitiation for us. This was an act of mercy. It delayed God's wrath that was due to us in order to give us time to repent. Chapter before this in Romans chapter 2, in verses 4 and 5, Paul said, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." The wrath was not eliminated. He says that if you are stubborn and you refuse to repent, you are storing up the wrath of God. It didn't eliminate the wrath of God, but it delayed it. It pushed it down so that we could have the time to be led to repentance. The kindness of God is tolerance and patience leads us to repentance. The sacrifice of Jesus gave us an opportunity to be saved. But it did not eliminate the wrath of God. That's why that business transaction illustration, that's where this falls short. If you think about, if I owe $100 and I can't pay it, and Carlos says, "Well, I'm going to come in, I'm going to pay that debt." Well, he pays the $100, then I don't owe it. No one owes it anymore. It's completely gone. Well, if Jesus came in and, you know, paid what was due us for our sins, why would anyone be punished for their sins? The debt was already paid. And that's already been done, already been taken out of the way. How could a Christian who's taken advantage of that sacrifice, how could they ever lose their salvation? Because, well, that debt's been paid. We've already been justified. That's been taken care of and taken out of the way. Wrath has been eliminated. No. Paul said the wrath hasn't been eliminated. That punishment has not been removed. It's been delayed. It's been pushed down the road so that we can respond to God's grace and take advantage of his mercy and be forgiven of our sins and have the hope of eternal life. He says that if you are stubborn, you're unrepentant, you are storing up wrath. Jesus' sacrifice, it was an act of mercy. But it was not a business transaction. It says, well, that's been paid, so now you can do whatever you want. And there are a lot of religious people have that concept. Not everyone who uses that analogy has that concept, but a lot of religious people have that concept that, well, Jesus died on the cross. You know, I believe in him. I can do whatever I want. And that's not what the scriptures teach. But he was a propitiation for us. This was an act of mercy. And going back to the passage that was read for us in 1 John chapter 2, this was something that was for everyone. Everyone can take advantage of this. He says that in verse 1 that I'm writing to you that not to sin, but if you sin, we have an advocate or one who is there to defend our case before the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous, verse 2, he says he himself is the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus died on the cross for everyone. And this was a demonstration, as chapter 4, verse 10 of 1 John says, of the love of God. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God, in his love and in his mercy, gave us a way to avoid his wrath, avoid the punishment that we are due for our sins. And it was through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That's what propitiation is about. About Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood, and so that we can, through that act of mercy, have time to be forgiven of our sins and have the hope of eternal life. Of course, that act of forgiveness, or that act of mercy where he died on the cross to give us an opportunity to be forgiven of our sins, to give us time to do that, we don't know how much time that does give us. So this is not to say that, well, he's done this, and so now we can just sit back and not do anything, and this, well, maybe sometime down the road I'll take advantage of that sacrifice, I'll obey the gospel. We don't know how much time that is. He's already given us more than enough time to get our lives right with Him. And so as we extend the invitation, we want to invite anyone who has not yet taken advantage of that propitiation, that atoning sacrifice of Jesus, to do that. He died on the cross and shed His blood so that you can avoid the punishment for sin and instead, through the grace of God, receive that reward of eternal life in heaven. And if you are willing to, or if you believe in Christ, you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith, you can be baptized to have your sins washed away. You can be forgiven of your sins through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And we can help you do that today if that's what you have determined you need to do. And if you've done that and become a Christian, don't think that, well, I'm a Christian, and so it doesn't matter what I do. All that you know, the debt for every sin that I've ever committed, that's all been taken out of the way. I don't have to worry about that. No, if we sin, if we turn away from the Lord, we still need to be forgiven. If we do sin, we have an advocate, but we have to, as 1 John 1 says, confess our sins to Him and He will forgive us. If you are a Christian and need to do that, then make your life right with the Lord. Repent and pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. If we can help you in any way, we'd be more than happy to do that. We invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.